truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
To the guy who would have been my first choice to play the lead in this movie, Harvey Milk.
From our perspective as a government, you're doing a very difficult combat situation.
It's a very sad day in the state of Illinois to undo the results of a fair, open, and free...
Until we organize ourselves for freedom, we're not going to have it.
Get a piece of fat and slide off.
And tonight at the Phil Hendry Show, we do have breaking news. It's another blog from Lindsay Lohan on MySpace. Quoting now, head games, that's what the tabloids and paps play with everyone, Ms. Lohan wrote. Further quoting, don't they? Everyone plays games, but it gets to the point sometimes when you just want to know why. Well, I couldn't sleep and am watching without a trace for a bit, and oh yes, I love this show, Jack Malone is boss. Well, have a good one, sweet dreams, all my love, always, Lindsay Lowe, XOXO. Now, we've just found out that that man who was on death row who pulled out his eye, he'd just gotten done reading that. Now, he had one good eye left, and he decided to yank the other one out. Wow. So, thanks a lot, Ms. Lohan. So, a guy's sitting on death row in Texas. That's really great. So, he reads your blog, and he rips out the only eye he's got left. How do you feel? All right, 1-800-449-8255. I'd be, woo, man, I'd feel pretty bummed about that.
Did he really?
No, he didn't really. Well, how do I know? Maybe he did.
Yeah, what if he did?
You mean to tell me this guy in death row ripped out the only good eye he had left after reading Lindsay Lohan's MySpace blog, huh?
Yeah.
A cat on death row in Texas.
Yeah, it's possible. Those guys are such perverted people. They'll do anything.
What are you doing anyway, man?
I'm down here. I'm looking for a thing that I dropped.
Get out of there, will you? People will talk. So, yeah, the guy on death row, he read her blog and he tore out his eye. Well, you know, buddy, I think that's an overreaction, man. Do what I do. Drink. All right, here's a story that they've got a lot of, they're freaking out over, and well, not freaking out, but they're interested in Florida, and I'm very interested in this, too, because, you know, and I ask all reasonable people to understand something. I believe that sexual orientation is something someone's born with. I believe that biologically one is gay or straight. I also believe biologically, biochemically, one can be born female but in a male body that necessitates surgery. I believe that. And hence, I believe that those people are protected as we are because of the color of our skin, as we are if we are handicapped or because of gender, we're protected by the Constitution of the United States of America and should be. But I got a real problem with people that just choose, pick and choose. In other words, if you have the freedom to say, today I'm going to be a Catholic, but tomorrow I think maybe I'll be Islamic. Today I'm Islamic, tomorrow I think I'll be a Buddhist. And claim some constitutional protection above and beyond, if you will. And when I say above and beyond, I would say, for instance, if I say I think the Quran is better used as toilet paper, I have a right to say that, and you can't sue me or otherwise hurt me or arrest me because I issued an opinion that is offensive to your religion. However, I may not say you can't eat in my restaurant because you're Islamic or Catholic. Public accommodations in the United States of America, pursuant to our Civil Rights Act and the Constitution of the United States, guarantees the right of some dude with a dot on his head wearing a beanie, someone with a turned-around collar, or somebody wearing a caftan with, you know, like foxskin fur around his neck. Whatever the hell your religion is, you can go in and you can eat in a restaurant. So long as your religion isn't torturing children, skinning animals alive, offering drugs to children. You know, there are limits even to religion. All right. But if I say to a black man, I think you're an N-word, and I don't like you because you're black, one could reasonably say I'm engaging in a level of hate speech, because what is that about anyway? See what I'm saying? You dirty, no-good N-word, right? If I say, you lousy, stinking skank, I don't want you working in this office because I think women are this, that, and something else, you know, inferior. Well, now I'm dealing in a sexual harassment, and I'm dealing in a discrimination based on gender. These things are not allowed. But if a guy says, I think that I think Catholics look funny when they walk into church with a napkin pinned to their head, that's my opinion. And somebody could say, well, that's hate speech. No, it is not. No, it is not. And let me say it one more time. No, it is not. No. Sorry. Now we get around to sexual orientation. You dirty, no good F word. You lousy lesbian, whatever. These are people who were born with a certain sexual orientation, and there's a protection accorded all of us based upon how we came into this world. However, when some jackass says, I think I'll have breasts and a penis, yep, that's right. Now, I know I'm starting to get into a real iffy area here, see. I'm sorry if I'm starting to make too much sense or I'm just not following along according to the program that was handed out at the door before I came in. When somebody says, I feel like today presenting as a female, this is a choice, much like one decides to be a Republican or one decides to be a progressive or one decides to be a crossdresser. Well, that's great. Good for you. That's nice. Yes, but I have a constitutional right to use the women's room. No, you don't. How dare you? This is hate speech. Well, I tell you what. I think it's hateful of you to, on any given day, decide you're going to be a woman or a man, or today you think you're going to be something else, and expect the rest of us to bend over and lather up and buy the Crisco too, just because you decide from one day to the next you want to present as something. That's called stupid. That's, in my opinion, that's a kind of a reverse fascism. That's the dictatorship of the jackball. You remember when Karl Marx called it the dictatorship of the proletariat? In America, we have something else called dictatorship of the jackass. It's called dictatorship of the vacillating and facile and trivial jackball. Somebody who, I think I'd like to be one of many spectrums between male and female. You remember that woman that looks like a man but had a baby and they had her on the cover, or they had him or it on the cover of People magazine? And everybody was supposed to be really cool and don't say anything bad. Not that I want to say anything bad, but I do reserve the right to say, you look really weird and I'm not sure I know what it is you're getting at. You know what I mean? Thomas Beattie, that's it. Now, Thomas Beattie and Thomas Beattie's friends may say, that's like hate. And I would say, wait a minute, this is a choice. No, she was born, now you're telling me she was like born with some sexual confusion where she wants to have a beard but a vagina. Is that what you're telling me? Yes. Well, now wait just a second. There's been a long, hard fight fought by gay people in this country. They had to go through electroshock. They had to go through castration. Eventually, the American Psychiatric Association had to weigh in and sign off on the fact that these people were not insane. They've had to fight for every damn thing they've got, including and all right on up to, you know, trying to get the right to marry. And you're telling me now, any guy that comes along who decides today, I think I'll grow a pair of breasts, and tomorrow I think I'll have breasts and a penis, but the next day I don't think I'll have any breasts, or today I'm going to dress up in a garter and a brassiere, and I'm going to be a woman, and you got to let me go into a woman's room. This is what is called choosing one's actions, one's philosophy. This is a lifestyle choice. For those of you who are confused and think gay is a lifestyle choice and don't get it about the whole orientation from birth thing, let me give you an example of what a lifestyle choice is. Some cat who rolls out of bed in the morning decides he's going to put on a skirt and high heels and he's going to be a woman that day, and he wants access to the ladies' can at the public park at a ballpark. Now, if you think I'm kidding, that's exactly what's going on in Florida. Florida conservatives fight for repeal of transgender restroom rule. Now, understand something, folks. Someone who is transsexual, one who is born a woman and needs to be in a man's body or vice versa, who goes through the counseling that is required, who understands the surgical treatment, who understands there's going to be hormone treatments, who makes this commitment, these people should be respected. And legitimized, and as they have been by the APA. But somebody who, hey, I can take hormone shots, still have a penis, but have breasts, wear a brassiere. Good for you. That's great. That's, don't you think that's cool? It's not really my thing, but I, you know, wait a minute. What are you saying? It's cool. It's cool. Oh, okay. It's cool. Yeah. And I do get to use the ladies' can and the men's can. Oh, well, wait just a minute, man. Aha! You are hateful. Wait a minute, dude. You didn't say anything about you're going to use the ladies' can. Now, there is a, it's a billboard. It's a blonde girl heads for a playground into a woman's restroom. A scruffy man lurking outside darts in behind her. And it says, your city commission made this legal. The words on the TV screen. The dark ad came from opponents of a gender identity provision added last year to the city's anti-discrimination ordinance, which now allows the city's roughly 100 transgender residents to use whichever restroom they're most comfortable using. What are you talking about, the city's roughly 100? How do you know how many? Because if we're talking about transgender, we're talking about somebody who's decided that this is what they want to be. They've not been compelled biologically. And understand, folks, we can only go by what it is we know as humans, what our scientists tell us, what our doctors tell us, what we know and what conforms to our law, the greatest civil law in the world, the greatest charter for people conducting their lives in a free society that the world has ever known. And still we have to go, you know, we have to scratch and dig and pick our brains over, okay, now wait a second, I know, but she's got, and it's a he, she, and what am I allowed to say? There comes a time, I think, when all you have to do is ask yourself this. Is this a legitimate orientation from birth, a biological problem that has to be treated and or otherwise be recognized, or a biological state that is recognized? Or is this somebody who's just screwing around with us? Or maybe they just want to have a lifestyle choice and they're expecting us to respect it the same way we respect gender and race and sexual orientation. And I say to those people, take it and park it right straight back up that new thing you just had installed. How about that?
It's the Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
We have our Dr. Green Thumb report coming up. We also have The World According To, and we're going to have two people who are actual regular callers to our show. One of them is a guy by the name of Roy from Boston, and another is a pre-surgical transsexual, I believe.
No. She said she's transsexual.
That's what I just said.
Oh.
Marilyn. Marilyn and Roy coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. But first, it's time for our record-breaking Out of Material Award. That's right. For the fifth time, Keith Oberfuhrer has won our Out of Material Award tonight. For the fifth time in the history of the show. And tonight he gets our Out of Material Award because guess what he can't stop talking about? Guess what he can't stop leaning on? Guess what he has to talk about because he's got nothing to say about anything else? You got it. Bush. George Bush. Not the Bush you were thinking of. Keith doesn't think of that stuff. See, we have reason to believe that he's got some kind of a brain lesion, man. He bumped into a subway back in 1980, and he's been real squirrely ever since. In fact, ever since he rammed his head into a subway that was going 40 miles an hour, his career took off. That's all he needed, man, a little brain lesion. On Countdown with Keith Oberfuhrer, lawyer Gail Davidson from the Canadian group Lawyers Against the War. This is the lady that we want to have on. This is a different Canadian, because they got a lot to say up in Canada about what's going on down here. You want to know why? Because they don't spend any GNP on their national defense. We spend it for them. So in other words, America spends all this money on military and security, and the Canadians know we got their back if anybody attacks them, because that's like attacking us. So they don't spend any bread on the military. They just bitch and piss and moan about how much we do. So anyway, and I realize it makes me sound like a conservative, but I'm not. I'm a 9/11 Democrat. Oh! All right. Our Out of Material Award tonight goes to Keith Oberfuhrer. Here he is talking to this Davidson woman. And you know what they're talking about? They're talking about how Bush is he's a war criminal, basically, is what they're saying here. So let's listen. As Gail Davidson from the Canadian group Lawyers Against the War wants George Bush arrested for torture.
Explain a Canadian law as it applies to Mr. Bush, in your opinion, if you'd be so kind.
Well, Keith, as you know, there's overwhelming evidence that while President and Commander-in-Chief of the Army, George Bush oversaw, directed, authorized, and supervised a system of torture that was long-term, widespread in many countries throughout the world. Now, under Canadian law, mm-hmm. anyone suspected of a crime like torture is inadmissible.
Oh, God.
And suspected means a little more than a suspicion and less than proof to the balance of probabilities.
Huh?
Mr. Bush is actually inadmissible on the grounds of the torture allegations alone.
So here's Oberman with a country that's underwater from financial debt. With a new president, with new challenges, here's Oberman. He can't get Bush out of his mind, man. He can't get that wind song off of his mind. You know, Oberman, you might make life a little bit easier for yourself if you just go ahead and call the former president up and ask him out for a drink, okay? Just go ahead, come leaping out of the closet and be done with it.
Because the crime is torture, it gets a little more complicated under Canadian law once Mr. Bush crosses the border. Once he crosses the border, Canada has a legal obligation to investigate him for torture, and if there's enough evidence to launch a prosecution, then under the Convention Against Torture, Canada has to either prosecute him or extradite him to another country that's willing and able to do so.
And then Keith, of course, could not resist his Edward R. Murrow homage or otherwise, I don't know what it is.
You seem to be having perhaps more procedural success than some of us in the United States are. Gail Davidson with the Canadian group Lawyers Against the War. Again, many thanks for your time.
I don't know who I would love to debate more, him or that terribly exciting Canadian woman.
The president being with the torture and the... And we don't up inflect or down inflect here in Canada. It's just I'm a dull creep who doesn't have any facts. She has no knowledge whatsoever of the facts of international law as it pertains to torture, nor does Oberfuhrer. Our fifth time awarding him the Out of Material Award. What a freaking jackass. Honest to God, man. And the other thing about you, Oberfuhrer, is I know you tried to say that the 2004 election was rigged, too. See, that sounds a little phony baloney, man. If you had been the first guy on the scene saying the 2000 was elected, or was rigged, rather, I might say, well, you know, Keith, Johnny on the spot, even though you're wrong, at least you're on top of the story. But coming out of the gate there in 2004 and saying it was rigged, because if it was rigged in 00, it had to be rigged in 04, and nobody cared, and no, it wasn't, and weren't you embarrassed at all? No. Time now for our Loon Alert, and tonight's Loon Alert goes to a record-breaking third time, the Pope! Dig that.
You're kidding me, man. That's a new record.
The Pope gets our Loon Alert for the third time because he courted further controversy by saying that condoms are not a solution to the AIDS epidemic. Instead, they're part of the problem. Now, I don't know where to begin with this other than to say perhaps he's talking about the immorality of having sex out of wedlock, but then you could have sex in wedlock and still get AIDS. In fact, you could have sex with a woman that you have been absolutely faithful to all of your life, and you could get AIDS. Because it takes two to tango, like the man said. Condoms have been proven to protect, unless, of course, they, quote, break, to protect against the transmission of diseases transmitted sexually, otherwise known as STDTs. Pope Benedict has previously stressed that the Roman Catholic Church is in the forefront of the battle against AIDS. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. The Vatican encourages sexual abstinence to fight the spread of the disease. After all those priests can do it, then why can't we? It's too easy. Anyway, the Pope wins our Loon Alert. Dude, Pope. Pope, dude, Pope. Come on, man. Do you want people to live? Or maybe we want only people to live who are sexually abstaining because morally it's a little bit more in line with... Well, who do you want to live anyway? I mean, do you want to have regular folks live or do you want just only the good ones to live and the other ones can die? Which brings us back to George Bush. You'll recall, and we will never tire of this. We will never tire of this on this show. Never. The night that I heard the otherwise very talented Rachel Maddow with some
reporter, giggling and laughing their way through what they said was the lack of accomplishment over the years by George Bush. And they brought up the fact that he had been in Africa. He's very popular in Africa. He had worked on behalf of the African people, you know, with this problem of AIDS and HIV. And they were dismissing it as sort of amusing. And, well, I suppose, if ever two women sounded like the snooty bourgeois bitch at the wine and cheese party, man, the two of them did.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We got the story. If there's a story we didn't get to, man, then we're going to get to it at the final quarter hour of the program tonight. Listening to us on Cairo in Seattle tonight is Marianne. Hello, Marianne. How are you tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good.
Great.
I'm just so happy that you brought up the Congress and Christopher Dodd and all those guys that are getting bankrolled by AIG and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I mean, if they got somebody in there to investigate, you know, who is behind all this money and all this corruption? And it's not the guys in those companies. It's the Congress. It's Congress.
No. It's the guys in those companies. It's the guys in those companies.
Oh, yeah. They're all holding hands. Yeah. But it's Congress that makes it all worthwhile and all possible. And those guys aren't taking any hits. I mean, they vote.
I don't think it's the Congress that... I think Congress enables it. I don't think you can say, though, that they're the guys that... They're the matrix for it.
Enabling
really?
It is the same thing as being responsible for it. You know, you're
no,
not going to tell me
not.
It's a disease, are you? And it's
no,
not
I'm saying no, it isn't the same thing. Enabling is not the same thing as creating. Enabling
well,
is simply enabling saying,
is
oh, you have a business?
Okay.
No, what it is it's this. Hi, we're a company, really, and we do business really crappy, but you can't see that yet because the financial thing hasn't happened. However, we'd like to offer you some money so that you will enable us to, you know, keep doing crappy business and you'll get well. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're all predators.
And that's about where that's
and
at.
We're the victims. They're all predators and we're the victims. And I'm tired of being a victim. I've never been a victim.
You're not
and
a victim. In a democracy, nobody's a victim. In a democracy, you know the old saying, in a democracy, people get the kind of government they deserve.
We're all victims. They're all trying to make us feel like victims. Because if you're in the welfare system, like all those, like Obama, he was raised in the welfare system. And probably half of those
what?
Guys. Were,
what are you talking about?
You know, well,
you know, as I said, in a democracy, a people get the government they deserve.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the bottom line.
When the number comes up for voting, I don't care if Adolf Hitler's running against those guys. I'd rather have him in my because at least he said what he did what he said.
Really? Okay, let's use that as an example. Let's use that as an example. You vote for Hitler.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish. Let's say I'm Jewish.
Uh-huh.
Then, when I go to a concentration camp, not only do I want to kill Hitler, but I want to find the people that put him in power. And you'd be one of them.
Yeah.
So suddenly, you become that government that you don't like.
Enabler. Yeah.
You know, yes!
It's nuts.
So we have to be responsible here. We have to be, as citizens, and let me say, I'm telling you, Marianne, you'd be doing yourself a big favor. We'd all be doing ourselves a big favor if we would look at this problem straight on. The problem is not Congress. The problem is a generation of inept business people in this country who have lost the whatever Yankee ingenuity was. We don't have it, man. These people don't know how to design a product. They do not know how to create something that people want, that is valuable, that is long lasting, that has substance. All they know how to do is sell.
We're not making things and creating wealth anymore. We're stripping those things out so other people can create it and bring it back to us because we're so retarded we can't do that anymore. And they think we're so retarded we can't even spend our money anymore. They want to take it all away from us. And you don't know how to spend your money. You're just going to go to the store and buy a bunch of candy, and that's not good for you. So give it all to us, and we'll spend it for you, and we'll buy your candy.
No, but here's the thing. Let's say I've got a lot of money. I've got the choice between a Japanese car and an American car, and the Japanese car is cheaper and runs better, and it costs me less to have it serviced, and it's got better gas mileage. You know, I'm disgusted, and I'm sickened by the fact that my own homegrown auto industry has absolutely lost its ability. Don't blame the unions for this, man. If those guys made a car that was a value to the American people, they'd have money hand over fist to pay the unions. Yeah. They'd have more money than they know what to do with, to donate to the health fund, to the salaries of those men. But they turn around because they don't know how to do their jobs. They turn around and they blame everybody else but themselves. These guys are inept, incompetent. I don't know how many other ways I could say it. God bless you, Marianne. You're a good woman. I got to get going, but thank you for calling me. Do call again, please. Please. 1-800-449-8255. You know what I'm saying, bud?
Well, sort of like I do, and in some ways I don't, but a lot of ways I do.
What I'm saying is, man, how many different ways can I say this? There, something fell apart on us somewhere in the last 20 years. It might have been the easy money of Wall Street. Yeah. But we stopped creating. It hasn't got anything to do with companies going overseas. It hasn't got anything to do with unions. No. If we're the people that we say we are, none of that stuff slows us down because we continue to create. Oh, you're going overseas? Yeah. Well, guess what? I'm going to keep creating here, man. I'm going to keep creating and make it a better product than you, you jackass. You can go overseas, do whatever the hell you want, man. Make your sweatshop crap. But we throw up our hands like a bunch of hand-wringing grandmothers and say, I can't compete because of the unions. These cats those guys from Detroit really frost my freaking Applejack.
Applejack.
100 proof. All right, 1-800-4, thank you, bud. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to, okay, we got Roy on the line. Roy, you there?
Well, Phil, I don't know what to say. I just love your program. Thank you for having me on your program tonight.
Let me get Marilyn. Marilyn, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
All right, now, our World According To, I want to get you guys giving me opinions on the different stories that you have. And first off, Marilyn, what did you want to talk about?
Phil, first of all, I wanted to point out that I'm at a video arcade where I was directed to go by Bud Dingleman?
I know, my name's Bud Dickman.
Yeah, his name is Bud Dickman.
Right. I'm here, I got the call from Mr. Dickman, and I came immediately.
Did you tell these people to go to a video arcade?
Well, that was the closest place that I knew that had a two pay phones that they could use.
Well, I have a cell phone still.
Yeah, I did too, Phil, but the young man didn't seem to know.
Are you an idiot or something sending them to a video arcade?
That's where I go.
I apologize. Are you guys on pay phones?
Well, I did, yes. I put quarters in, and Mr. Biskey is here too.
Yeah, I put my quarters in, Phil. I'm fine.
Well, I apologize. All right, Marilyn, what did you want to talk? And first of all, Marilyn, you are pre-surgical transgender, is that correct?
I am pre-surgical, yes. And you can refer to me as Mr. if you want, but I do prefer Ms.
I didn't know what to say.
Roy called me ma'am, and I did appreciate that, Roy, but you can call me sir or pal.
You want me to call you pal?
Did you tell him to call you pal?
Well, he seemed to be stunned and startled when he first met me.
I didn't know, Phil. I didn't know whether he wanted me to call him her.
But I assured him.
All right. Well, why don't we just move on from that? Marilyn, what do you have?
Phil, Senator Ron Wyden, who is from Oregon, actually had introduced legislation that would have prevented these bonuses from being paid out. It would have capped their bonuses at $100,000, and any amount paid above that would have been taxed at 35%.
All right, Roy, what do you want to talk about?
Well, Phil, I don't know that what I have is anywhere near as interesting or important as
You can call me pal.
What my pal, Marilyn, was saying, but I was watching Dancing with the Stars, and Belinda Carlisle was the first celebrity eliminated from the eighth season of the ABC show. And did you know, Phil, that Belinda Carlisle is 50 years old and that her professional partner, Jonathan Roberts, I guess is... Well, there's nothing that I want to say about that, but that's the news story that I have.
Interesting.
I didn't know. Belinda Carlisle's 50, huh? So you want to talk about Dancing with the Stars.
Bill, you're very polite, showing full interest in his topic.
Well, I mean...
If you're not interested, are you interested in Dancing with the Stars? I watch it, and my wife does, too. My wife's wondering where I am right now, and I told her I was going to a video arcade with a man, and I came here and saw Marilyn, and then I called my wife back, and I said, what is that?
Are you going to tell Phil the whole story? Because he only has a few minutes.
Well, go ahead, Broy. Finish your thought.
I'm so sorry. I called my wife, and I said, check that. I'm not here with a man. I am here with a man soon to be a Mrs., but he told me to call him Pal.
Right, and I got on the phone with Mrs. Biskey, and I assured her that I had no interest, be I a man, a woman, or what have you, in this gentleman, Roy, that's with me.
And so that's when I said, do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
All right, let me say this. I don't quite know how to put this together. Tell you what, Marilyn, why don't you tell me about Senator Wyden and how he, a Democrat from Oregon, was trying to do something to limit these bonuses while Dodd had his thumb shoved up his nose.
Well, that is a very good way of putting it, Phil, and that is exactly what happened. Senator Dodd from Connecticut decided that he would play footsie with the insurance industry by, I heard you use the word with your caller, enable, and I think that's a very good word, enable the insurance giant AIG. But let it be said that a right-thinking senator from Oregon by the name of Ron Wyden was trying to cap these bonuses. And I think it's a wonderful thing, and I think he should get kudos from all of us here in the electorate.
By all means. You know what? I hope to get Senator Wyden on the show. Roy, what did you want to talk about? Now, you want to talk about Dancing with the Stars?
Well, yes, I wanted to talk about Dancing with the Stars, 50-year-old Belinda Carlisle, and you said it, Phil. Boy, I can't believe that little girl who sang the song that we remember, we got the beat, we've got the beat, and she's 50 years old.
What about Our Lips Are Sealed?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Our Lips Are Sealed.
I like that one by the Go-Go's. That was nice.
I thought Our Lips Are Sealed was very melodic.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Our Lips Are Sealed. Do you hear them? La da da da. You know the song?
Oh, yeah. Do you hear them? Hold on. Shut up. Do you hear them? Our lips are sealed. Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, and we got the beat. We've got the beat. We've got the beat. And then, yeah, we've got the beat. And so I watched that little girl, Belinda Carlisle, tonight being told by the judges on Dancing with the Stars that they didn't want to see her any longer on the stage, to please get away from them. And I Jonathan Ross, who is her partner, a young man who is a marvelous dancer with one leg shorter than the other, Phil. And that's something they didn't report.
I didn't read anything about that.
What is his name?
Jonathan Roberts, and he has one leg a full foot shorter than the other. And they were toe-to-toe, and I think it was cruel.
What do you think of that, Phil? I know that because they can't dance that well, but you took the part of the blind singer on American Idol, didn't you?
I didn't take the part of the kid that's blind, Scott McIntyre, because he's blind. I took the part because I thought he was a fantastic singer. And is this guy Jonathan Roberts? Is he a good dancer?
Oh, he's marvelous. He's marvelous.
He was very talented.
The fact that he has one leg that's at least two feet shorter than the other one.
Oh, come on, man. A minute ago you said it was a foot. Now it's 2 feet.
No. He said that he has a foot that was not reaching the floor.
Yeah, I said the foot was not reaching the floor, but it's 2 feet above the floor.
That's what he said.
Well, in that case, yes, I think they should have allowed them to continue dancing. And you're right, Belinda Carlisle is sweet. 50 years old, huh?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it again.
Our lips are sealed. Our lips are sealed. That's the thing of the...
Well, I like to do that. Our lips are sealed. I heard Margaret, who is a woman, I'm pre-surgical. Boy, she sings like a cat that's had its tail shoved in a garbage disposal, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. She's terrible. She's terrible, Phil.
All right, look, thank you very much for being on our program tonight. I'm sorry that Bud told you to go off to this freaking video arcade. Bud, you got to be out of your mind. We got to get going. Thank you so much.
I want a big shout-out to all the girls over there at the floor.
I didn't hear that.
Giving a shout-out to some of the other trans-surgicals.
What do you mean, trans-surgical? All right, so that's whatever that was. That's our...
Our lips are sealed.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Cameron Heights Emergency.
Yeah, can you please send rescue? I think I'm having an overdose, and so is my wife.
Okay, you and your wife?
Yes.
Overdose of what?
Marijuana. Please come. I think we're dying. Time is going by really, 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 really slow.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Dateline Wallenberg, Colorado. The Colorado State Patrol says that a woman is in custody and a man is in the hospital after troopers found 587 pounds of marijuana at the scene of a one-vehicle crash on Interstate 25 in southern Colorado. 587 pounds of marijuana. Okay, divide that between... Oh, anyway. Authorities say a SUV lost control, struck a guardrail, and rolled near Wallenberg on Tuesday morning. The 31-year-old driver was seriously hurt and transported to a nearby hospital. His 27-year-old passenger suffered minor injuries and was treated at the scene. The patrol says troopers discovered the marijuana while investigating the crash. The passenger was arrested on a charge including unlawful possession of marijuana with intent to distribute. She was transported to the Huerfano County Jail, where she's being held on a $100,000 bond. The patrol says the man and the woman are from New Mexico. The names were not released, but one thing's for sure, somebody's out 587 pounds of dope. Better get to growing more. All right, in Highland Hills, Ohio, a public employee in a Cleveland suburb was arrested on a marijuana possession charge and hours later on charges of smoking the cannabis while driving a village truck. Donald Brown, 34, of Highland Hills, a real dumbass, was charged Tuesday with driving under the influence when he was arrested the second time. Earlier, he was held on a possession charge when officers smelled the cannabis outside his apartment. According to the police report, Brown told officers he was fine to drive because he'd only smoked a roach. A remnant of a marijuana cigarette, those of you who are not familiar. But officers said Brown failed a field sobriety test. A High Hill spokesman said any disciplinary action must await the outcome in court. His attorney, Beverly Briggs, said Tuesday she had just gotten the case and couldn't comment. Okay. Anyway, in Augusta, Georgia, a Richmond County jailer is the one behind bars accused of selling weed to the inmates. Deputy Michael Arrington of Grovetown was arrested Tuesday morning at the Richmond County Jail. Richmond County Sheriff Ronnie Strength says as recently as Thursday morning, Arrington sold marijuana to inmates. Pretty common, actually. That's not even news. Must be a slow day in Augusta, because when I was in jail there, the words that I heard through the grapevine in Zurich, Switzerland. Ah, we go international now. Swiss police said Thursday they stumbled across a large marijuana plantation while using Google Earth, the search engine company's satellite mapping software. Police said the find was part of a bigger investigation that led to the arrest of 16 people and a seizure of 1.2 tons of marijuana, as well as cash and valuables worth 900,000 Swiss francs. Oh, man, I don't buy that for a minute. Officers discovered the hemp field of the northeastern Canton state of Thurgau last year while investigating an alleged drug ring, according to Zurich's police specialist narcotics unit Norbert Klossner. The plantation measuring 2 acres was hidden inside a field of corn, but officers using Google Earth to locate the address of two farmers suspected of involvement in the drug operation quickly spotted the illegal crop. Trenton, New Jersey. Chronically ill New Jerseyans could alleviate their suffering legally by smoking weed under a bill passed Monday by the state Senate. The proposal by Senator Nicholas Scutari could allow patients with certain chronic and terminal illnesses to grow 6 marijuana plants or have marijuana grown for them at an authorized treatment center. And by the way, speaking of that, you cats in Michigan, why don't you get it together? Get those medical marijuana dispensaries going. I'm telling you, federal tax, federal tax, federal tax, federal tax money, federal tax money. We're sitting here like a bunch of stumble bums looking for a way to increase the tax revenue. We don't want to raise taxes, but we got to raise. Yeah, I get it, all of that, man. Do you understand the enormous amount of money that's to be made here? We open those dispensaries up, wire your heads and your asses together, and as Bob Dylan once said, everybody's got to get. A truck heading to Massachusetts that was stopped by police in Arizona contained 1,400 pounds of marijuana, a haul worth $2.1 million on the street. All you people in Massachusetts, sorry. The truck was stopped on Interstate 17 at 4:30 in the morning last Friday, according to the Arizona Department of Public Safety. Tom Bellavo of Basra, Connecticut, was arrested after police pulled the rig over for an equipment violation, you dumbass, and allegedly found the marijuana. He was charged with transportation of marijuana for sale. The truck was headed from Rancho Cucamonga in the glorious state of California to Westboro, according to Bart Graves, spokesman for the Arizona DPS. The vehicle owned by M&G Enterprises in East Hartford, Connecticut, contained frozen food products along with boxes loaded with weed. An equipment violation. There you go. That's our Green Thumb segment here for this evening.
Phil Hendry.